Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chof. And we're holding, I'd like to start again, if you don't mind, I'd like to start again on the Mishnah that we did yesterday, so we could just hop right back in to the sugya of the Malika Shechita relationships. And let's just go over it once again quickly. HaShochet Minat Zdadim, Shechita Tokshira, HaMolek Minat Zdadim, Malika Topsula. So there's no particular place on which the Torah said to do Shechita. It just said, Vizavachta Kasher Tzivitecha. Now we have the modality of Shechita quite clear. We have the Mokom on the Simoni, which is either or both, depending on Ofer Behema respectively. And the Dinim are there very well set out, but we don't have a place. So if you took a kana or a veshet, and you moved it out of its place, you removed the skin from the neck, pulled out the simonim, shechted them outside of the neck, I mean, there would be no problem with that, as long as you do the actual shechita of the simonim. However, when it comes to malika, the Torah specified the place that the malika is supposed to be done. And it said it has to be done mimul or po. Now, there's other strange things about malika that are clearly different than Shechita, because remember, Shechita, we have the five biggies. And the five biggies that we have to avoid, the most, clear-cut biggie is Drisa, but that's how you do Malika. Drisa means you press down, and Shechita has to be done moving the knife back and forth. So, clearly all the dinim of Shechita cannot apply to Malika, or Hagroma. So Hagroma, yes, Hagroma could be exactly the same. But what about the idea of Chaloda? Chaloda, remember, is that the knife is hidden. Well, the problem is over here, if you do a Malika, the Malika is always Hagroma because the neck bone is going to close over whatever is touching the simonim on the other side because you're coming in from the neck. And therefore, it's not visible what you're doing to the kana or to the veshet. So clearly, hagroma might apply. Drisa can't apply. Chaloda cannot apply. Okay. How about ikur? Would ikur apply? I don't know. We've got to look into this because, it's clearly the differences are built into the way in which we do it. So we've got to figure that out as well. But as far as the placement is concerned, so we have a mokum of Malika, and we have a mokum of Shechita along the neck, but we don't know any particular site. But we do, minat zdadim, we know that Malika is possible. Now, if you did Shechita from behind the neck, I want to just, in order to avoid the confusion that the Gemara is about to address, I want to just point out to you that the meaning of the Oref is not being used here correctly. The literal meaning of the Oref is the back of the head. So whatever would be opposed to the face, that's the Oref. And that's on the head. It's not on the neck. And what the Torah actually says is not the Oref, it says Mimul Oref. So Mimul Oref means the area that you would be able to be opposed to. You could see that if you're standing, so to speak, and you're an insect on the neck, you could look up and see the head. That's what we refer to as the Oref. So the Oref is a way in which we refer to the neck from behind, but it's not the technical meaning of it. Technical meaning is the head from behind. So if you did Malika from the Oref, meaning what we call the Oref, that is to say along the back of the neck, the Malika is kosher. But if you do Shechita Minat Savar, you do Shechita from the throat, the Shechita is kosher. This is the opposite. Hamolek minat zavar, malika topsula. But if you would do malika from the front of the neck, so then the malika would be possible because it has to be mimul or po. Shekol ha'orev kosher malika. Now, this seems to be a meaningless statement because we just said that essentially. The entire orev is good for malika, and the entire throat is good for shechita, which brings out the fact that whatever is kosher for shechita is possible for malika, whatever is kosher for malika is possible for shechita. Seems to be a very repetitive kind of mishnah. So let's talk about first the actual meaning of the word Orev. What do you mean when you say Orev in the Mishnah? You can't mean literally the Orev, which is the back of the head. How could it mean that? So why does the Mishnah say that Shechita is pasul from the Orev? Even Malika would be pasul from the Orev, because the Torah says Mimul Orpo, not Orpo. It's which looking at, it's facing the back of the head, but it's not the back of the head. No, no, we use the word Orev. Because of that, the word Orev is coming into common usage as meaning the back of the neck. So it means Mimul Orpo, not the actual literal Orev. And that's Mimula Orev, Kiriktani Seifa. That's what the end of the Mishnah is saying. Kol HaOrev. What do you mean Kol HaOrev? If the Orev referred to in the Mishnah was just that tiny part of the back of the head that is facing, is behind the face, it's a very small area. It's not a kol. You just say Orev. But Kol HaOrev means we're talking about a neck. Heck, we could have a awfully long neck on a bird, right? And all of the back of that neck would be considered to be a large place, and nonetheless, all of it is kosher from Malika. So obviously we're referring to a neck and not a head. And we can show that, minani mili, the Tana Rabbanan, the Torah says specifically to do the Malika, veviotam la kohen, umalaket rosho mimul orpo, velo yavdil. And we have the other, we'll see in a moment that we have the opposite. But it depends, remember, as we know from Zochim, whether we're bringing an Oila Sa'of or a Chata Sa'of. We'll talk about the Havdol in a moment. But it says in the Pasuk Beferish, the Mimul Orpo. Malaket Rosho Mimul Orpo. So what does that mean? Mul means something from where you can see, that is to say that it's right against facing, which, of course, comes from this word, facing. So it's Mula Orev. It would be that which can see the Orev. Where do we see that from? Well, when Balak sends his letter begging help for the horrible Jews, he says, V'hu yoshev mimuli. And mimuli means that it's up against me. I'm viewing them. And we find clearly that it means their back. This is a strange pasuk. What is that supposed to prove? Ki panu alai Orev velo panim. They turned their head back to me and not their face. What does that part prove? Well, because we need to first address the question. I mean, we haven't proven where the Orev is, so that the Mula Orev, we would know where it is. Don't you think we have to first prove where the Orev is? So that's the point. We're talking about they turned their back of their neck to me, their head to me, and not the face, is what it's talking about in Yirmiyahu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says they turn away from me and don't turn their face towards me, then it's the opposite of their face. So then we can establish that the real Orif is back of the face. And the Mul Orif would therefore be where you would view the face, the back of the head from, which is the back of the neck. So therefore, since I want to prove the Orev Gufa, Tashma, Kipanu alai Orev Alopanim, which shows that in fact the Orev is the back of the head behind the face. Omer b'nei Rebbi Chiya. So the sons of Rebbi Chiya pointed out that the mitzvah of Malika is, this is strange, you move the simonim by pulling them behind the Orev, and you do the Malika that way. Whoa. Now, I mean, there is an advantage in doing that, even though it's quite clumsy. The advantage in doing that is that you do not cut through the neck bone by doing that, right? So the Orif itself has not been cut. You could just cut either the, depending on what if we're talking about, chulin, you cut either the kona or the veshet. And that way, you avoid any problems of making something a treifa, because as we pointed out before, every shrita creates a treifa in the act of shrita. How does it do that? Because it has to cut through a part of the veshet before it cuts through the rove. And the moment that it cut through the part of the veshet, it's already a treifa. But that is the act of shrita. Same thing is true of malika. A normal malika, which we've understood until now, is that you go through the bone of the neck, which is itself, if you're cutting through the vertebrae, then you've got a big problem because that's one of the trephas. But that's the way in which you do Malika. Now, what B'nai Rabbi Chiya is suggesting is that you actually do the Malika without creating the trephas, and you pull the simonim behind the neck, and there you do the Malika with your fingernail. Now, there's two ways of understanding that. Some people understand B'nai Rabbi Chiya to be meaning you can even do Malika that way, meaning that there is no chiyav. When we say that you have to do Mimul Oref, there's no chiyav to actually go through the neck in order to reach the simonim. You could move the simonim around and bring them to the back. So even so, it would be kosher. But others suggest that what B'nai Rabbi Chiya is saying is that you'd have to do it that way, and this way you would avoid cutting through the actual shidra. You wouldn't be cutting through the spine, and therefore you would avoid kash, the tarfus. But according to that, if you did it the other way, you would have made the animal treif before you went ahead, the bird, I should say, treif, before you went ahead and shechted the simani. Umistavra, it's more reasonable to go like the understanding that they were saying you could even move it behind. Not that you have to. Why do I say that? From our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Hashochet min ha'orev shchitato psula, and ha'molek min ha'orev melikato kishira. Now, if what we mean is that Malika is only done because you're bringing the veshet and the kohen back behind the shidra, so if you did that, you could do shchita that way. There's no problem in doing shchita from behind the neck of the animal. I mean, if you're a surgeon and you carefully bring the kana and the vesha to the back of the neck, using the back of the neck as a platform, what's wrong with that? The Torah never said where you have to shech in terms of where the simonim are. So then why would the Mishnah say Malika is pasul if it's actually done? The Malika is kosher if it's done from the Oref. Even Shchita, in that way, if this is the way you got to do it, even Shchita would be kosher. So you see from our Mishnah, El Olav, Shmamina, Af Machzir. It's not, I got to be talking about that even if you had, and the Mishnah is discussing a normal case where you don't have a guy performing surgery before he performs the Malika. You know, as a normal case would be, that Shchita in such a way would be pasul and Malika would be kosher. That seems to prove it very clearly. Omre Bianai, you know, this is a chutzpah. These upstarts over here, you know, these little kids, B'nai Rabbi Chiya, they come up with their ideas. Let's put them in their place. Yekablu harovina chuvatim. Let the babies get their answer in their face. A chutzpah. Diktoni. Look at the Mishnah. Look at the end of the Mishnah. Nimtza. And so what do we discover? It turns out that kosher b'shchita pasul b'malika, kosher b'malika pasul b'shchita. Now, what do you think that adds? L'mute mai. We said everything that there is to say. What is that adding? Aha! Must be adding this case. And to tell me, marzir simonim la'achore ha'oref is actually pasul for malika. So that means that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about what's kosher l'shchita is not kosher for Malika and vice versa. That is just talking about normal cases. And what we're saying over here is we're adding this additional piece. Omar Rabba Barbachana, look, that doesn't prove anything. Maybe that part of the Mishnah is referring to what you do the Shchita or Malika with. Maybe that's what it's talking about. Maybe it means that, look, you cannot do Shchita with your fingernail, at least not while it's attached to your hand, because that's Mechuber. And we said before that's not kosher. And you can do Malika only with that, right? So that's the part. The Shein is not important over here, but because we put the two together always. But the important issue is that the Tziporin, if you do Tziporin Shchita with a sharpened fingernail, it's still not going to be kosher because of the fact that it's Mechuber. What? That Mishnah wouldn't need to tell me that. We had that in the Mishnah that said Beferish before on Tesvav. It said Beferish. Shein v'Tziporin, it says, is pasul l'shchita in that Mishnah. Okay, so maybe it's the way in which you do it. Maybe the point over here is shchita has to be done by moving the cutting device back and forth to cut. And Malika has to be done by Drisa, by pressing down. Maybe that's what it's saying. And if you do the Shechita through pressing down, it's Paso. And if you do the Malika by moving back and forth like a knife, it's Paso. Maybe that's the point. It's the contrast, the way in which you do it. Ah, but wait a minute. Is Malika puzzle if you move your fingernail back and forth? Or is it just not necessary to move your fingernail back and forth? Now, that's a big machlokas. This interpretation that you're giving only works out if you hold according to Mandi Omar, who says, Molech umevi b'malika puzzle, that if you move your fingernail back and forth, that's not a kosher malika. A malika can only be done with drisa, by pressing straight down. But what about according to the Mandi Omar, who holds that it's kosher? We're going to see that later on today. What are you going to say then? How would you explain the Mishnah if it's coming to tell me that? So that it cannot be coming to address that. So then what would the B'nai Rebbe Chiya say the Mishnah is referring to? Well, it's no problem. The B'nai Rebbe Chiya might personally hold, like the Mandi Omar, who says that Molech Umevi B'Malika is possible. And in fact, the Mishnah is coming to address the way in which you move the object that is cutting. So they have a perfectly valid explanation of the Mishnah without its being a stira to their concept of taking the simonim and moving them back. So everything should work out fine. Omer of Kahana, let's think about that. I say the mitzvah of Malika is kotzeitz viyoret. You press your thumb right through the back of the neck, and you go straight down. You don't move back and forth until you cut through the kana or the vesha. V'zoi mitzvata. That's the way that you're supposed to do it. Now, Rabbi Avin thought that he was coming bedavka to address this issue. Only kotzeitz viyoret. You've got to press straight down. But if you would be Molech Umevi and you cut with a cutting motion instead of a puncturing motion, then it wouldn't be kosher. That's what he seems to be saying. Says Rabbi Yirmiyahu, why? Maybe just the opposite. Maybe kosher came to Molech Umevi b'Malika kosher. I mean, the primary way when we do a normal shechita would be bedavka you have to cut. So, I mean, why would we assume then when we have a Malika that you have to do the opposite? Maybe you could do the opposite, but it's even better if you would move your finger, your thumbnail back and forth. But then what did Rav Kahana mean when he said, Zohi mitzvata, that's the way to do it? He meant, and that too is the way to do it. It's irrelevant to us when it comes to Malika, whether you move back and forth. Anyway, would be mitzvata. Maybe that's what it means. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar Shmuel, another issue over here is that kol hakosher b'shchita, wherever it is that you're cutting along the throat in front, kenegdo b'orev, along the entire back, the nape of the neck, it would be kosher b'malika, which is mashma anywhere at all. Now, I mean, that's what the Mishnah said. I mean, so apparently what he's coming to stress is that if it's in a place where it would be possible b'shchita, then it would be possible b'malika. Now, what exactly is that coming to tell us that we don't already know? L'mu'utemai. I mean, elam, if you're going to tell me that it means you cannot do a malika on ikur simonim. Now, let's talk about this ikur simonim for a moment. And I believe if Handy is here, I don't see any forest. What's happening? Is any Moshe and Eld? Ah, there we go. The forest has reappeared. So Moshe and Eld raised this issue last week. And the question has now come to the fore. And as I promised, we're going to be discussing this issue. And here is the main place where we need to discuss it. Remember that there are two completely different issues. And Rashi has been conflating them. And it's really quite confusing. One of the fundamental psulim of Shechita, remember, along with the other four that we discussed just a few moments ago, is Ikur Simonim. So together with Chaloda, Hagroma, and Drisa, we also have Ikur. What exactly is Ikur? So the Ikur that we're discussing here, and the Ikur that Tosfos says is what we're discussing everywhere, and Rashi does not have it right when he talks about Ikur, if you recall, when we first brought it up, Rashi defined Ikur as either the Ikur we're talking about here, which is that the simen is actually detached, and it's not torn along itself. It's a perfectly smooth kuna, or perfectly smooth veshet, but it's not properly attached to the jaw, let's say. So either on top or on the bottom, we'll talk about it. It's no longer connected with the connective tissue that would normally connect it to where it's attached to cartilage, or it's attached to the opening of the lung, and so on. So that's called the ikur, for sure. That psul is not a trefa. That psul is a psul for the neck. The neck has to include simonim that are properly attached. And if they're not properly attached, then you can't do shlita, because you're no longer shechting the neck as it's defined. Now, the other thing that Rashi said over there was that if you've got a pagamenus sakin, then that's also ikur, which is certainly not necessarily so, because the idea of an ikur that would be caused by ripping at a simen would be a trefa. And there's certainly no difference in the dinim of trefa between birds and behemoths. They have the same trefas, and what we are saying now could not possibly be true. If it's Rashi's ikur, in fact, Rashi over here, of course, does not say what he says elsewhere. And over here, it only means ikur. There's a pagam in the neck. And that's why the Malik, that's why the Mishnah is saying, if the neck is pasul, it's pasul only for Shkita, but not for Malika. Maybe that's how to interpret the Mishnah, right? So that would make sense. But to say that you can make a trefus, that would make no sense whatsoever. So therefore, here clearly ikur means what it means according to almost all the Rishonim everywhere, is detachment from the place where it's meant to be attached with connective tissue. So if that's what we're talking about, and we're saying that if something is possible for Shechita, it's possible for Malika, that's coming to tell me that what? Lemute ikur simonim. That if one of those simonim are not connected properly and it's not a trefa, nonetheless, the fact would be both Shechita and Malika would be possible because of the dinim of Shechita Malika, not because of the dinim of trefas. Is that what you're trying to say? And that was the whole chiddush over here that Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar Shmuel was saying? That's a problem. Because in a braita that Rami Bar Yecheskel taught us, is ein ikur simoni ba'of. Oh my gosh. Now, again, that can't possibly be referring to trefas, because there's no difference in any of the trefas between birds and between mammals. So therefore, it must be referring to the real ikur that we're talking about. And it's saying, when it comes to a bird and Malika, there is no concept of out-of-place simoni. And we're going to discuss why that would be true soon. So, I can't mean that. So what did Shmuel mean to tell us? Omer of Papa, Shmuel just meant to say that Malika on the head is possible. What? That's a pusik in the holy book. I got news for you. I don't need Shmuel to tell me that. Pshita. Mimul or poem, Rachman of a lover or show. That can't be what he's saying. No. Obviously, that's stupid. When I say Rosho, he's coming to say not in the Rosh. He means to say even the Shipui HaRosh. So the head slopes down towards the neck. So I might have thought that from that slope into the neck, that would also be called Mimul or Po, because it's no longer in the head Gufa. So my Rosho, Shipui Rosho. So what he's talking about, let's say Nokat Mishipui Rosho, you start doing your Malika from the Shipui HaRosh, which admittedly is not the Mokum HaRoeh as HaOrev. I understand. That Mokum is not the place for Malika. But I didn't do the Malika there. I just started the Malika there. And then Igrim V'azal, then I was Magrim, meaning in a good way. I cut at an angle correctly until I get to the correct place. And where I get into the mokum of the Malika, then I cut through the simani. So what Shmuel is saying is, if you started the malika outside of its place, it would not be a kosher malika. And that would be very similar to what we learned before by Shechita, like Ravuna Amar Avasi. The Amar Ravuna Amar Avasi, if you've started the Shechita behagroma, outside of the Mokama Shechita, and then you went ahead and you went on an angle, and the remaining two-thirds you shechted in the correct place, it would still be puzzle. That was the Shechita of Ravasi. So Shmuel is coming to say the same thing would be true. According to that Shechita of Ravasi, the same thing would be true b'malika. So that the din of Hagrama means you can't do the Shechita backwards, so to speak, by getting into the right place later. That idea is true about malika as well. I want to look at that Braita that you just quoted, Rami Bar Yecheskel, and he said, a gabi klal, ein ikur simani ba'of. So is that like a given? I say he's only saying that according to the Mandi Omar, who holds birds don't need shechita midiraisa. Where does it say anywhere in the Torah that you need shechita? Maybe it's only the Rabbanan that you're supposed to shech birds. So since Rami Bar Yecheskel is coming to tell me there's no din of ikur simanim, where would that come from? It could only come from an understanding that there's no din of shechita, really. And when the Rabbanan were machmer to do a shechita, they say, you can do a shechita, but you don't have to be makpid on ikur simanim. That's how I understand it. But if you hold l'man d'yomer yesh shechita of min ha-Torah, does it make sense that shechita is defined one way when it comes to mammals and another way when it comes to birds? We're not talking about malika here. We're talking about shechita. I mean, shechita, shechita, right? So if you hold yesh shechita of min ha-Torah, so then why wouldn't there be ikur? So then yesh ikur, there would be ikur also. Said Rav Ashi Tim, on the contrary, Adarabba, Ibcha Mistabra, the exact opposite. You want to conclude something? Conclude the exact opposite. Look, if you hold Yesh Shechita La'of Min HaTorah, then that means that the whole thing is defined as this vast Gezeiras HaKosov, which was given over, actually, as Halacha L'Mashvi Sinai. This is how to do it. So what? It doesn't make sense to you. Hey, God, why are you telling me different dinim for birds and mammals? Shut up and mind your own business. What kind of question is that? What are you asking? But if you're telling me the Rabbanan made a takana that you're supposed to do shechita min ha'ov, and what, they just arbitrarily left out some of the klalim of shechita? That's crazy. I mean, after all, don't we have another gavi rule that koma to takon Rabbanan gain the right to takon? And that if they make a takana, so then you may do the takana has to follow whatever the givens are. So then why in the world would they have left out ikur? So if anything, it proves the opposite. I mean, it makes much more sense to say, now look, and this is the way the Halacha L'Mashvi Mishinai was given over. So therefore, let's say, you could say, okay, how do I know? You know, what right do I have to comment on it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu, ein ikur. So how am I going to question that? And even if you learn that the mukar of this din is a deraisa, because we say we say hekesh, zot torat abeima veha'of, hikish hakotsuv of lebeima, just like an of requires shechita, a beima requires shechita, so too does an of require shechita. So you'll say, okay, so it's a hekesh, ein hekesh, lemechza. That may be true, but we know that the ikar tzivoy of zavarta kasher tziviticha is to do things the way I taught you. And, I mean, does it say in the Torah the dinim openly of ikur? So that's the way we, Moshe Rabbeinu was taught. Le'inyan ikur, when it comes to ikur, the bird is not like a behema. Who am I to comment on that? But if you hold like the Mandi Omer, ein shechita la'of min ha-Torah, l'midivrei sofrim, where in the world would the Rabbanan have come up with this weird idea of taking a knife and cutting through simanim? Like, what? I mean, what is this, some kind of Indian ritual? Obviously, they derive the whole halacha from behema. They didn't make this up out of whole cloth. They said apply the din of a behema to a hope. So why would they say, but not Ikur. That's crazy. If it's Mibaima, then Kula Milta Mibaima, they would have to make their takana to be the complete exactly like the Baima is. Omar Ravina, I heard from Ravin Bar Kisi that when Rami Bar Yecheskel said Ein Ikur Simoni Ba'Of, he never meant it for Shechita. Of course there's Ikur Simoni Ba'Of for Shechita. He's meant for Malika there's no din of Ikur Simoni. But for Shechita, yesh Ikur Simoni. So the concept of Ikur is a concept of Shechita. Obviously, Malika is a totally different world than Shechita. I mean, look, we know that a Malika is done with Drisa, and a Shechita is possible with Drisa. A Malika is done with Chalada, and a Shechita is possible with Chalada. So maybe the same thing is true, that a Shechita can't be done with Ikur, and Malika can't be done with Ikur. That already makes sense. But Eino Chinami, you're right. Why would we have said by Shechita there's no Ikur La'Of? This makes much more sense. So if Drisa and Chalada don't apply, so maybe Ikur also doesn't apply. But didn't we say before that Shmuel said, Amr Bir Me'amah Shmuel, Ka HaKosher B'Shechita K'Negdo B'Oref Kosher B'Malika, which is Mashma, we said, anything possible for Shechita on the neck is possible for Malika. Now remember, we just defined Ikur as a problem in the neck and not a problem in Trefes. It's a problem in the Mokom Shechita. You do not have a neck roi for Shechita here. And therefore, it should be included in the Shmuel statement that anything possible for Shechita on the throat would be possible for Malika in the back of that neck, and therefore it would include Ikur. So then if that's true, if it's possible for Shechita, it should be possible for Malika. So how can Rav Bar Kisi say, no, Rami Bar Yecheskel, what he was talking about was only about Malika, not Shechita? You're right. No, what can I do? Shmuel's definitely arguing. But Ravin Bar Kisi has a right to say that this is the way the Brice of Rami Bar Yecheskel was understood by him. Fine. It's true. Shmuel doesn't agree. Okay, now let's talk about another din. So remember, we have a neck bone, which includes the spinal cord within it and the vertebrae. And that is called the mafreket. So the mafreket is the bone of the neck itself. It comes along Zairi, and Zairi says, look, in the case of any animal, whether it's a bird or it's a mammal, it doesn't make any difference. If the neck bone was broken and most of the meat that's around it was also broken, that organism is not alive. It may look alive and it may talk alive, but it's not alive. It's the walking dead. It's basically woke. And therefore, the woke part of it looks alive, but the organic part of it is dead. And if it's dead, that means it's Batame Binavela. It's not just a trefa. And Rav Chisda says, look, this seems to be clear, mamish from the Mishnah in Zvachim. It says, malak b'sakin. If you did malika with a sakin, so what does that mean? You cut through the neck bone, right? And it says there that if you eat it, it's betami begodim abetabliya. This is a dead kosher bird. A dead kosher bird, what's the din of nivlas of tahor? It is metame the adam and is begodim when he swallows it. And it says over there in Zvachim, if you did Malika with a knife, it's Matame Begonim Abetablia. So that's exactly what it's saying. It is saying it is dead. It doesn't matter how it's acting, and it doesn't matter how it's moving. It becomes an Avela at that moment. So and if you're going to tell me that any organism that is like that, then Malika makes no sense. Because if you're going to tell me that it's a trefa, right? That's fine with me. I mean, obviously it's a trefa, but that's just the same as Shechita. Shechita makes a trefa when you do Shechita, so Malika makes a trefa when you do Malika. But if you're going to tell me that it's dead, then it's crazy. And if you're going to tell me it's not actually dead, it's only a trefa, and the Malika is the way to do it, just like Shechita is the way to do a mammal, So then the same way that you did that shechita here, you did it from the back of the neck. And of course, that's not a kosher shechita because here it would be a trefa, but why is it an avela? If it's not dead, when you cut through the kona and the veshet, we said it. The Torah doesn't give you any particular way that you have to cut through the kona and the veshet. So if you're doing a shechita on a bird, that's chulin. So if you cut through the back of its head, so if I understand, I made it a trefa, but then I cut through the kona or the veshet, and the din is that if you shecht trefas, they're not matami bin avela. You're not allowed to eat them, but they're not nevelas.
Rabbi, when one does malika, does one also cut the backbone, the neck bone?
Yes. So that's what
one has to, right?
What?
One has to? That's part of the mitzvah of malika?
Well, that depends on this, what we asked before. Can you take out the kohen and the veshet and put it behind? That was what B'nai Rabbi Chiya was saying. And we said that you don't have to, according to them, is the way we came out. But, I mean, this is the norm of malika. So, according to what you just said, it makes no sense. So, if that's the case, and it says over there it's Matami bin Avela, so then what Ze'iri said obviously didn't need to be said at all because it's Mamish a Mishnah. No, I need Ze'iri. Why? Because Has Mishum Delav Shchita Yiklal, I would say that that's because it's not considered to be a maisa of shechita if it was meant to be malika, even if you do it with a knife. Because the point over there is, why do I say this? Ravuna says to do a malika with a knife is not an act of shechita for a number of reasons. First of all, Taina's Ravuna. It's not an act of shechita because it's chalada. It's always going to be hidden. The knife is going to be hidden under the mafreket. And remember, chalada is one of the five biggies. It's one of the five halacha l'maaseh misinayis that defines the nature of shechita. So if you cut through the mafreket does not pull apart. It remains closed, and the knife is basically hidden beneath the mafreket. And therefore, it's like a burrowing creature. So it's pasur for shechita. Rava Amar? No, it's because it's dores, because you're not moving back and forth. And shechita is defined as cutting and not as pressing. And therefore, it's pasur. And why does each one argue on the other? Well, we know one, of course, already, because it's possible that you can do malika according to one man diarma. This is what we were referring to before, that there's a machlokas, whether you can actually move back and forth even with malika. So the man diyomer Rav Huna, who said it's because he's being machlid, why doesn't he just say the obvious thing? That when you do malika, you're pressing straight down. Why doesn't he say that? Ah, here's the machlokes. It's because he holds that not necessarily you could do malika by moving your fingernail back and forth. So over here when it said, now you use the knife. It doesn't mean you press down with the knife. It means you move the knife back and forth. Because he holds Molochul Mevi would be kosher by Malika. This is what we were referring to earlier as Hanichal Amandi Amar, right? This is that discussion. And Rava, who said it's because of Drisa, and obviously doesn't hold that, and he holds you're only going to be Doris, you can't go back and forth. So this is the machlokas we're referring to between Rav and Rav Huna. My time alo amar mipnei shu machalid. But what's wrong with saying that the sakin is going to be hidden underneath the mafreket? Well, Rava would say, not necessarily is that chalada, because remember, chalada is like we said, kechulda. So it's like the chulda which lives in the ikre batim. Now, a chulda doesn't expose part of itself. A chulda is very careful to remain hidden under the foundations, right? And it doesn't want to be exposed and caught. But in this case, if you're talking about a regular knife, it's not going to be hidden by entirely. It's going to be partially, you know, just where it's going to be mafreket covering right at the edge where it's cutting. But I mean, I could see the whole knife outside. That's not called chalada. Maybe that's what Rava holds. Okay, but that would mean that basically you've got to be able, if you don't see the knife, then you're right, that's chalada. But over here, you can see the knife, so it's not a problem of chalada. It's a problem only of drisa. Amar Rava, look, you guys could discuss Ziri from today till tomorrow and make up these problems and solve your problems the way you want. There's a much more fundamental problem over here and nobody's talking about it. If Ziri is right, then it's insane. Ikashet is a problem. I'll tell you what that problem is. This is the real problem. You got a dead bird in your hand and you're going in and you're doing Malika. Now, how are you doing Malika on a dead bird? By the time you get to the definition of Malika, which is cutting through, treif, I understand. Treif doesn't change shechita. But shechita on a dead organism is not called shechita. It's called cutting meat, okay? And now over here, you've got a piece of meat in your hands, which is a dead bird, and now you're going to be doing Malika on it. That's insane. There's no Malika. There are no simanim. There's just a piece of chicken. I don't know. What does this have to do with Malika? So that's the problem. V'chimeta, you've got a dead bird, and you're being omed umolek. So you're taking this corpse, and you're doing Malika on it. I don't know. This, I mean, talking about some avodah zorah somewhere or something. I mean, but what does this have to do with Judaism? So according to Ziri, there's no way to do Malika. Amalei Abaye, I understand. So you've got, look, the Torah says beferish, that when it comes to an olata of, so it says beferish in the pasuk, if you do an olata of, you have to cut through the whole thing. You have to be mavdil at roshav, which means you have to cut both the kona and the vesha. Now, are we agreed that the bird is considered to be meat after you shecht on a bird? Either a kona or a veshet? Has everybody agreed to that? So you got the same problem. Why in the world is this Kohen continuing to cut through a simen on a dead bird? That has nothing to do with Ziri. That is everybody's problem, okay? It's a beferish pasuk. What are you going to do with that pasuk? Huh? Oh, Marley, you don't understand what's going on, okay? That cutting has nothing to do with Malika. Huh? That's right. The Torah says, Yavdil et Rosho. It has to do with a completely separate mitzvah, which is the mitzvah of Havdalah. And the way that you do that mitzvah of Havdalah has nothing to do with the concept of how it is that I take away the life of this bird. You're right, the bird is dead. So the Torah said, after the bird is dead, separate the head from the body by cutting through the rest of whatever is left there, the simanim. That doesn't mean I'm doing Malika. Hatam kedei lekayem mitzvat Havdalah. That is nothing to do with that. So because there's two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Malika, and there's also a mitzvah of Havdalah. Wait a second, says Abai. If there's a mitzvah of Havdalah, how come you don't have to cut the whole head, including the skin, and have it as a separate piece? How come you don't have to hold it in a separate piece? How come you only have to cut through the other simen? If you're claiming that this is not because of Malika, then the word Havdalah means to separate completely. So you have to cut through everything. How come you don't have to cut through the rest of the neck with the skin around it, huh? So don't tell me, I mean, what, just a coincidence that I'm cutting the other simen, and you're claiming that it's a Havdalah? Yochi or Nami, I should have to cut the skin as well, don't I? No, that's because the concept of Havdalah is that anything that has to do with Shechita has to do with Havdalah. But anything that is not part of Shechita is also not part of Havdalah, because you can cut the skin off the neck completely of whatever animal or bird you are shechting, and it has nothing to do with the shechita whatsoever, right? The skin is irrelevant to what I'm doing. So you might as well say that if the bird's head is being held on with scotch tape, you're mechuyev to cut the scotch tape because the Torah says v'hivdil. Come off it. Vivdil means the things that are important. So what makes them important? Well, that they're normally the things that keep the organism alive. So whatever would be part of a shvita is, obviously, you got to cut through that. Not because you need to take away the life of the animal's dead, but because that's what it means to separate. So therefore, call him a akib b'shvita, akib b'avda. Oh, no, wait a minute. How about the miut simonim? According to the Rabbanan, they are not ma'akev b'shvita. You don't have to cut the entire simen. You can cut the rope. But you have to cut through the entire simen for havdola. So you see that even something that's not essential for shvita, it's not critical for shvita to do more than rope, it is critical for havdola. So how are you comparing it to scotch tape? Over here, there's clearly a difference because it's not defined what's critical for shvita. So then, if I have to cut miut simanim, why don't I also have to cut through the skin? Okay. You want me to say it more clearly, even for dummies? I'll say it more clearly, okay? What I was talking about is not kolam ha'akev b'shvita. You're right. It wasn't properly stated. What I meant was, kol sheyeshno b'shvita, yeshno b'avdola, something that is part of our concept of shvita, is part of the concept of Havdalah. Are simonim, but don't talk to me about miut simonim, not talking about ma'akit. Are the simonim part of Shlita? Yes. So then simonim are part of Havdalah. Does Havdalah mean separate? Yes. Okay, thank you. So now we're not talking about miut simonim. But something that has nothing to do with Shlita, like scotch tape or skin, kosha eno b'shlita, eno b'havdalah. So therefore, there's no problem. Excellent. So now, we don't have an issue. The only issue we still have left is mikol makom kasha. If it's true that it's dead, then it's dead before you get to the simanim. And Rava said, if I got a problem, that's my problem. Well, that is a problem. I mean, how are you going to answer that? There, it's not a din in Havdalah. There, it's a din in Malika, which is defined as the same way Shlita is defined as cutting through simanim. So how in the world could Zairi be right? Cutting through is going to turn it into a dead bird? So after it's dead, why am I doing Malika? Oh, my Rava, this is how we said it back in Zvachim. Ema, you have to say, the chenu oset. The correct way to do Malika is first you put your thumb through the spinal cord and the mafreket. But you don't cut the rov basar, because that way you only made it a trefa, not a nevela. And then you get to the simonim, and then you complete it, and you cut through the rest, but you never necessarily are going to do something. You do necessarily make it a trefa, but never do you, at the time that you make it a trefa, you have to be very careful not to go through the rov basar. And Rabbi Zeira himself said this. When he went to Eretz Yisrael, he found somebody saying, La shemaitata, and he was saying over what we said from Zairi. And he said, it's going to be a nevela. So Reb Zera asked Reb Ami the same kasha that Rava asked. So why is he doing Malika if this is a dead bird? Reb Ami was so shocked that he went into shock. Oh my God, I never thought of that. So these words are taken from Daniel, where it says, this word's exactly, eshtomim kisha'achad. Remember, Daniel went into shock with some of those things that he saw. So he was eshtomim kisha'achad. So poor Rabbani was suddenly hit by this. I mean, this, wow, that's crazy. What's the solution? So Reb Zera said to him, Ema, what you have to add to this mimer is that kachu said, chotech shidra umafreket, below rov basar, and obviously you can actually only be yotze a malika properly if first you go through the mafreket and carefully avoid cutting through rov basar, and then you can finish. Tanya nami ochi, ketzad mokin chatata of. How do you do the malika on a chatasa of? You only are allowed, remember, to cut one of the simanim. Because on a chatas, it says, v'lo yavdil. So on the Chatas HaOv Beferish, you can't cut both simanim. It says Ve'krivet lechatat rishona u'malaket rosho mimulor po. So far everything is great, but then it says V'lo yavdil, and therefore, how do you make sure you do that? Well, your chotech, the shidra, and the mafreket, but be careful below rov basar. This is mamish part of the din malika. Forget about talking to Ziri. Ad shemagia leveshet o lekana. You could choose cutting through either the veshet or the kana. Then you cut through the simen or rov of the simen. And then you cut together with the rov basar. And if it's a carbon ayla where it says v'yivdil et rosho, then you would do both simen, shnayim o rov shnayim. And that would be the malika. Perfect. Okay, we'll continue, I think, with this nekuda. No, let's do this piece also, because the next piece is mamash totally different. So, yeah. So, ask the Gemara. When you said in the case of an oil, I'll get to the two questions in a minute. When you said in the case of the oil, and the you said that you have a choice, you said in the chatas of one or the other, and in the oila you do both. I want to know who said this brayta, because there's a machlokes between the chachomim and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, about whether you have to cut through the entire shchana veveshet of an oila, because the Torah says you have to go through the whole thing. So who's it going according to? If it's going according to the chachomim, they say you have to do the whole kana and the whole vesha. So what do you mean? You do rov. Armishnaim davka. And you just, we don't say rubo kakula when it comes to the shkita of oilasa oif. And if it's going according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, he says it's usur to go through the entire thing, and it's rov shnayim, and only rov shnayim. So the Braita is not true according to either of the two Tanoim that we know? No, you're right. The Braita has to be actually two different options. Ema Shnayim, that would be according to Rabbanan. O Rov Shnayim, that would be according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. It's not an option of one or the other. It's either or. So this is a binary choice between holding like the Rabbanan or Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Or you could get away with saying this, Ibai Sema. You could say, Hava Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, and when it says Shnayim, it explains itself. Rov Shnayim, meaning not that it's just, you need like a magnifying glass and a micrometer to make sure that it's Rov. It means that it looks, you can see clearly that they're Doimim L'Shnayim. And you have to, just by taking a quick look at it, you see that it's been cut through completely. Whew. Okay, Rabosai, wow. A lot of new chidushim today.